Okay. Next is our CCB legislative report done by Mitch Pomerantz, Governmental Affairs Chair Committee. Mitch, do you need a mic?
I've got one, thank you. Okay. Just set up this big boom mic. It reminded me of 105 years ago when I worked in radio. You could use this as a cane. All right. This will serve as an update on bills sponsored, supported, or followed by the California Council of the Blind since the beginning of the second half of the current legislative session. Before getting into statewide legislation, however, let me take a moment to acknowledge and thank the members of this year's CCB delegation to the American Council of the Blind Legislative Seminar, which took place in Washington, D.C. on February 29th and March 1st. Besides Donna and me, our contingent included Artis Bazin, Vincent Calderon, Charles Navarrete, Karen Schroeder, who was our first-timer, and Jeff Tom, of course. Of the 53 members of the California Congressional Delegation we had appointments with, 38. And we dropped off materials at the offices of the other 15. Now, given our small numbers relatively, I think we did a heck of a job. A few of us also met with representatives from Senator Boxer and Feinstein's offices. Donna and I, whoops, are we losing the mic? No? It sounds like we're losing the mic, gentlemen. No? All right, sounds different than it did a minute ago. Donna and I didn't get to either of our senators' offices because we were lucky to have a half hour face-to-face with our member of Congress, Judy Chu, which was really pretty cool. I won't discuss here the four legislative and or regulatory initiatives we covered with our legislators, but instead we'll refer you to the upcoming issue of The Blind Californian, where they are described in some detail. On a bit of a down note, unfortunately, CCB will not be holding Capitol Day in Sacramento this year as we'd originally hoped. Without going into detail, President Tom and I thought we had a commitment from a member of the Governmental Affairs Committee to oversee logistics. However, this was not the individual's understanding, and neither Jeff nor I were in a position to take charge. So Capitol Day will not be happening in 2016. As I will be leaving the Governmental Affairs Committee at the conclusion of President Tom's term on June 30th, it is my sincere hope that the next committee chair will be able to schedule and hold Capitol Day in 2017. Now for a look at this year's legislative agenda to date. Our efforts are focused on a pair of guide dog related bills which are supported by guide dog users of California. The first is SB 1331, sponsored by Fran Pavley, which addresses matters under the purview of the State Board of Guide Dogs of the Blind, the regulatory body overseeing the three licensed guide dog schools in the state. The framework for this proposed legislation came from a CCB resolution the membership adopted in 2013, as I recall. The bill would require the board to be comprised of at least three members who are blind or visually impaired and who use guide dogs, and stipulate that one representative from each of the two major consumer organizations representing Californians who are blind or visually impaired be members of the board. authorized personnel from a certified guide dog school outside California that previously provided training or instruction to an individual residing in the state to provide follow-up services to that individual for the guide dog for which training and instruction was originally provided. Place those services beyond the jurisdiction of the board. Require the board to prepare a fact sheet regarding its various functions and to post it on the board's internet site. And require a licensed guide dog school to provide copies of that fact sheet to every student receiving training. SB 1331 is scheduled for a hearing this coming Monday, April 11th, before the Senate Business and Professions Committee. The second bill that we are directly involved with is AB 1824, Chang. And that bill would do a number of things as well to strengthen criminal provisions relating to dog attacks on service dogs. The bill would strengthen criminal provisions relating to dog attacks on service dogs. Delete the requirement that the guide, signal, or service dog be in discharge of its duties when the injury or death occurs. Make these crimes applicable to the injury or death of dogs that are enrolled in a training school or program for such dogs, and require the defendant convicted of such crimes to make restitution to the victim for medical or medical-related expenses or for loss of wages as a direct result of the crime. AB 1824 came before the Assembly Public Safety Committee on March 15th and was placed on consent, meaning that there was no opposition. Jeff, along with Margie Donovan, have already met with a representative of the Guide Dog Board and will be meeting with key legislative staff over the next several weeks. We are optimistic about passage of both bills. CCB is also following several other bills of relevance to blind and low vision persons. We are supporting AB 1584, Brown, and Thurmond. You may recognize their names from previous efforts. This bill would establish the cost of living adjustment, or COLA, as a permanent component of the SSI-SSP program and extend those increases over a four-year period amounting to an $84 increase after 4 years. On March 28th, the bill was referred to the Assembly Human Services Committee but has yet to be scheduled for hearing. We are supporting, with amendment, AB 1797, Lackey and Weber, which would authorize an individual to apply for in-home supportive services, IHSS, in person or through electronic means, and require the county, if an application is filed electronically, to provide the applicant with a confirmation number. We are asking that the bill be amended with language to ensure that, in accordance with federal and state statutes, counties make any electronic means accessible to persons with disabilities and specifically to those with vision impairments. As with AB 1584, AB 1797 has been referred to the Assembly Human Services Committee but does not as yet have a hearing date. CCB is also supporting with amendment AB 2346, Baker, which would require when an applicant for or recipient of public social services is involved in a fair hearing, a public or private agency to provide a copy of the agency's position statement to the applicant or recipient where electronic means, and require the State Department of Health Care Services to make its position statement available to the applicant or recipient and the State Department of Social Services through electronic means, as specified. We are calling for a similar amendment to this bill, as with AB 1797, in order to ensure accessibility for persons who are blind or vision impaired. AB 2346 was passed unanimously by the Human Services Committee and referred to Appropriations for further action. We opposed SB 681 by Hill, which would have reduced the fine for drivers making illegal right turns on red lights. Fortunately, this bill died in the Senate Transportation and Housing Committee. CCB also opposed AB 61 by Allen, which would have legalized operation of private tech shuttles. Last year we called them Google shuttles, or they did, at certain San Francisco bus stops. While this bill died, Assemblymember Allen revived the proposal as AB 1641, which was to have been heard in Assembly Transportation this past Monday. However, it appears that it was not. At least I couldn't find it on Ledge Info or anywhere else on the legislative web. Last fall, I reported on SB 450 by Roth, a proposal which would permit some counties to conduct elections primarily via vote by mail. I said then that this bill would be taken up in 2016. CCB has been part of a group of disability advocates involved in drafting language calling for those counties conducting vote-by-mail elections to offer ballots that blind and low-vision voters could privately and independently read and mark before a county could conduct such an election. To date, very little has happened to move this bill along, so there isn't anything new to report. Efforts do continue within the disability community to introduce amendments favorable to us, but to date, SB 450 remains in legislative limbo. We've just learned about Assembly Joint Resolution 35, authored by Brown, which CCB is considering supporting. We will talk about it tomorrow afternoon at the Governmental Affairs Committee at 4:15, and hopefully, Jeff, you'll be there. Because in a nutshell, and I will thank Jeff for the layperson's explanation, because I looked at the governmental one submitted by Ledge Council, and you really did need a law degree to understand it. But thanks to Jeff, the explanation I've got here makes a whole lot more sense. It would seek a change in federal policy in order to make SSI recipients eligible for food stamps in lieu of giving them a very few dollars per month. Let me conclude by thanking President Tom for the opportunity to chair the Governmental Affairs Committee these past 2 years. It has been an interesting and most challenging experience. However, for a number of reasons, it is time for me to relinquish this position and to pursue other interests, as the old saying goes. I still believe that the California Council of the Blind can and must remain the strongest voice for bettering the lives of blind and low-vision Californians. However, this will happen only as long as we do not lose sight of the mission set forth by our founders in 1934. to serve as the voice of the state's blind men, women, and children through concerted action and advocacy. First, last, and always, our mission must be to represent the needs and concerns of blind and low vision people. We must never stray from that mission or the work CCB members have performed tirelessly for the past 82 years will have been in vain. We must not allow that to happen. Thank you and good evening. Want to take questions, Mr. Chairman?
Yes. If we can get a mic out to the audience. If you could raise your hand if you have a question, please.
This is Steve Bauer. Mitch, could you give us some clarification on the bill you mentioned about shuttles in San Francisco? I hadn't heard about that and didn't quite understand it.
Well, apparently, and some of our folks from the, I almost said from Giants Land, but apparently Google, among other Silicon Valley corporations, last year made an effort. They provide shuttle services for a number of their employees in and around the Bay Area, and they want to utilize public bus stops so that, and those buses, those shuttles are permitted or would be permitted to wait for their designated riders, thus making it difficult for the public buses to make their normal stops and making it a little tougher for blind and low vision individuals to get on the proper bus to go to their destination. So they need to get permission from the legislature apparently to do that. The bill mercifully died last year, but like a good zombie, has arisen again, and so we're trying to put a stake through its heart once and for all.
Hi, this is Beth again, and I'm really familiar with what's going on with that bill.
Good.
The
Go ahead.
City of San Francisco and a lot of different activists very, very recently came to a solution. Because that is what's happening in San Francisco. And I can't tell you how many buses I've missed because I can't see the bus that stopped behind the bus that's in front of me. So what they're going to do is they're going to designate some pods around the city. So instead of parking in the bus stops, these buses will park in pods all throughout the city, and people can get there either on mass transportation bikes or they can walk, but they won't be using the city streets like they have the bus stops. Some mornings there are like four or five private vans going to Silicon Valley from the city instead of muni buses. It's ridiculous. So I think there might be a solution to that.
Anyone else? All right, Gene. It's all
thank
yours,
you very
sir.
Much, Mitch. Thank you.